From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For many years, it was a generally accepted practice to find a Native American burial ground, loot it for artifacts, and even make museum exhibits out of the remains. They were regarded as objects of scientific study or just curiosities for gawking tourists. But for the indigenous people of America, those were their ancestors, their great-great-great, etc. grandparents. And for a few decades now, our state and federal governments have been working on getting museums and other institutions to return the remains of indigenous ancestors to their descendants. Those efforts have been slow-moving, so this year, Illinois gave it another kick in the form of the Human Remains Protection Act, signed into law in September. It reinforces an existing federal law and allows tribal nations to be involved with the return and reburial process alongside the Illinois State Museum. That is key because the State Museum here has the second largest collection of unrepatriated Native American remains in the U.S. Earlier this year, a ProPublica investigation found that the State Museum had at least 7,000 ancestral remains, but it only returned a small fraction, 156. Joining us now to talk about what Illinois is doing to comply with the laws is Heather Miller. She's Director of Tribal Relations at the Illinois State Museum in Springfield. Heather, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Also joining us is Joseph Rupnick, who also goes by Zeke. He's chairman of the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation, a tribe of more than 38,000 people. The nation was once based in DeKalb County in northern Illinois, but is now headquartered in northeast Kansas. Zeke, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. And listeners, you can join our conversation today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. I know many of you out there of a certain age maybe took a school field trip to visit the Dixon Mounds Museum, one of the state museum sites that used to have ancestral remains on display. You can tell us about that and what you think about what the state is doing now. Again, 800-222-9455. So, Zeke, I want to begin with you. Can you just talk about the funereal customs of the Potawatomi Nation? What is supposed to happen when someone dies?
Once we put our ancestors to rest or our relatives to rest, there's a hope that the earth and those things around will protect them forever. And I was asked about this once before, if there are any ceremonies for repatriation. And, you know, my answer has always been, well, we've never expected them to be dug up. We've never expected them to be disturbed. We had always hoped that once they were laid to rest, that they would remain there forever. So we take great care in preserving our cemeteries where our relatives are laid to rest. And we would hope that others that follow would continue on to that with that practice.
So as we've been talking about this idea of repatriation, how did your tribe get involved in this process?
Of course, we have land that's in Illinois. And, you know, by our account, that treaty is still in existence. The 1832 treaty, which carved out two sections of land from my grandfather, four generations removed, Chief Shawnee. And that has never been disestablished by Congress. And we got involved with that because we knew from local historians, people that have been living in the area, that there were possible grave sites there. And we wanted to do everything that we could to protect those grave sites, which is now in the middle of a state park. Once we got involved with that, we started expanding that out, looking at like Dixon Mounds and those other different areas where we know that our Potawatomi people are buried, or Native American ancestors from many different tribes are buried, to try and do everything that we could to protect those areas from further disruption and or looting. And that's really what it's about. I think for many years now, it was kind of an acceptable practice where folks would loot those mounds, they would loot burial sites and sell them on the open market. I often tell folks, well, how would you feel if I went out and dug your grandmother up, kept her bones in my desk drawer? Maybe you buried her with some jewelry, brooches and things like that, and I kept those and put them on display. You would probably feel some bitterness and resentment towards me if I had done that to your folks. So that's why we really got involved with this process, to protect our ancestors where they're at and where they remain.
Heather Miller, when you began this position in tribal relations at the State Museum, how do you begin to build those relationships?
That is such a great question. I'm lucky enough to be an enrolled citizen of the Wyandotte Nation. So I bring this tribal perspective to this position. And I really understand from my own personal self, the impacts of being a removal tribe. So I've been able to build up these relationships with other tribal communities who have experienced very similar things that my tribe has experienced. I bring those networks, I bring those connections to this position, and I was able to also have that same understanding and sympathy and empathy for doing this work. I think that is really critical and key. I've worked, with tribes in different positions all across Indian country. So, all across what we call Turtle Island, or now know as the Americas. And so I've been able to really leverage those connections and those networks to make sure that we are engaging with the right folks who have connections here to the state of Illinois and are making sure that their voices and their opinions are what drives our policies and procedures in terms of working specifically with the ancestors and their funerary objects that we care for here at the Illinois State Museum.
I wonder if Illinois presents any unique challenges because there are so few, indigenous people still here, right? There, it's not a state that has any reservations, the Chabanais lands notwithstanding. Many of the indigenous people who lived here left long ago, centuries ago.
Yeah, I definitely want to add some clarification to that.
Sure.
Just because we are definitely in a unique position here in Illinois, but there are some things that we don't often recognize. We have one of the largest urban Indian populations in the country. So although we don't have any federal nations that have a central seat of government specifically located here in Illinois, we do have a really thriving population of Native folks that want to see changes happening in this state. And then because we have built up such a great relationship specifically with the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation, we're working to help find some ways to have this nation have a recognized seat of government, have recognized land again here in Illinois. And so that is a really exciting piece for us, that means that we're shifting those longstanding systems that have been put in place of thinking about the fact that we don't have Native people here. We're so quick to say that we don't have anybody here, but we actually do have a very large community that wants to make these changes. And then we're trying to find inroads to make it easier for those folks that have been removed, forcibly removed oftentimes, to have a better say and more power in terms of managing specifically Native affairs in the state.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking about a move at the Illinois State Museum which has the second largest collection of unrepatriated Native American ancestral remains in the country, and is working now more aggressively than it has in the past to repatriate those ancestral remains to their descendants. One of our guests today is Heather Miller, who's Director of Tribal Relations at the Illinois State Museum. Also, Joseph Rupnik, Chairman of the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation, which was once based in DeKalb County, Illinois, is now headquartered in Northeast Kansas. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. So, Chairman Rupnik, can you talk about what this new law in Illinois does and how the approach of repatriating ancestral remains has changed over time?
Well, this new law is a tremendous first step to correct or right a historical wrong that has happened in the state of Illinois. And I want to remind everyone that as it stands today with the 7,000 remains through the ProPublica report, Illinois has the lowest repatriation rate in the nation. Hopefully we can correct that and we can start moving forward to laying to rest our ancestors and all tribal ancestors that are held in many different museums and historical societies. One of the things that causes me concern is when we visit these different historical societies across the state, my fear is somebody is going to pull out, you know, remains, skeletal remains, funerary objects, and the like from a back room or closet, which has happened many times in the past. Hopefully we can get those cataloged, identified, and start working towards laying those folks to rest. But again, you know, this is a good first step. It falls in line with federal law, NAGPRA, and making sure that all nations that have some connection to the state are notified of these reburials or repatriations that are happening, and that we are following federal law and hoping that we can get this corrected.
You mentioned NAGPRA. Just for our listeners' sake, that's the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, passed in 1990. So a long time in coming in making some of this work actually come to fruition now. Heather Miller, what was the process at the Illinois State Museum, if there even was one, for repatriation in the past?
Yeah, so the Illinois State Museum has been in compliance with NAGPRA because we did complete an inventory of all the ancestors and affiliated belongings in our collections. And what happened at that time is the majority of these ancestors were labeled culturally unaffiliated. And so it became easier to not speed up that process, so to speak, in terms of repatriating folks. That was used as a reason to find some ways to continue researching on ancestors. These are just very difficult topics to talk about as a Native person. And so that's why I try and use words in this particular way, just because it's so challenging to talk about these things. But what that meant was we were really slow, or the Illinois State Museum was just really slow to reach out to tribal communities and to determine if there could be a connection to these modern tribes that exist today with the folks that we were caretaking on our shelves. We've also had some transitions here at the Illinois State Museum over time. So we've changed leadership. We were impacted by politics at one point, and so the museum itself was closed for a little bit, which caused some issues with repatriation. But in 2017, we started making some hiring decisions and changing our procedures. And so that really forced us to start reaching out to our tribal nations that we know have connections to the folks that we currently caretake in our space. And so we made very asserted efforts to start doing that. We reached out to our tribal communities and asked what were things that we could do to specifically speed up this process. One of the reasons, or one of the answers that we got, was it's very difficult to rebury some of these folks, because as Chairman Rupnik mentioned, first of all, there are no ceremonies that are necessarily in place to do this reburial, but also because we're in a state where these communities have been removed, they don't have, you know, that presence necessarily every day here in Illinois. That means that they don't have land to rebury their ancestors in. And so part of the changes that we made in the Human Remains Protection Law, not only was to make it easier for tribal communities to come in and do reburials with their ancestors, but we have made it easier to find land that's owned by the Department of Natural Resources that can be used for this process. So now within this new burial law, we have...
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I do need to ask you to pause, though, because we are going to have to we have to take a break on the program. We will continue this discussion when we come back. More to come. Stay with us, please.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about repatriating the ancestors of Native Americans. The human remains is a term you often hear in the collection of the State Museum. As one of our guests alluded to before the break, those terms can be dehumanizing and difficult for people for whom these are, you know, effectively great-great-great-grandparents. Etc. So we are talking about this with Heather Miller, who's Director of Tribal Relations at the Illinois State Museum and has been working on this issue at the museum. Also, Chairman Joseph Rupnik of the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation, a tribe of more than 38,000 people, once based in DeKalb County, now headquartered in Northeast Kansas. 800-222-9455 to join our conversation today. That's 800-222-9455. So, Heather Miller, I'm sorry, I had to interrupt you before the break. You were beginning to talk about the actual, you know, we mentioned the sort of lack of ceremonies for this situation, because it was not something that anyone contemplates. And you know, what is the actual process look like once you've made these connections and determined, you know, this ancestral relationships?
We go through quite a process. We look at where these remains were found, and then using that type of information, we reach out to the modern day tribal communities that we know have a relationship with that area. And so we invite them into conversation. We bring them to the table to have discussions around what happens next. So that way we're making sure that their voices, their opinions, their ideas are guiding that whole decision-making process. So if there's a space in Illinois that really makes sense to have those ancestors reburied at, then we're able to provide a process to make that happen. If folks know that their ancestors had lived in this particular area of Illinois and they were dug up in that area, then we will try everything in our power to make sure that we get them back in the ground in those particular spots. So the new burial law creates that process. It allows us to bring tribes in for tribal consultation. We have that written into the new law. It was a law that was already on the books. We just edited it and updated it. So it's not necessarily new. It's just more exciting and gives us better opportunities to engage with our tribal communities. But it also allows them to pick those spots, those burial places that are of importance to them.
Chairman Rupnik, can you talk about the importance of tribal knowledge here, right? In the past, people might have been looking for more archaeological and sort of physical, biological evidence. Talk about the importance of tribal knowledge in this process.
Most of the folks that we know, based on our stories that have been passed down through the generations, talk about where certain chiefs' villages were, where their relatives have come from, and that's been passed down orally throughout the generations. So we do have a knowledge of where they were at, where they were located, and who belonged in what area. That's really important, especially when you start going into these consultations and discussions with different state agencies to determine who should be taking the lead on this. Some of the tribes were in close proximity and have worked together throughout time. Some of them may have been enemies. And so today, especially when it comes to the reburial process or repatriation process, tribes typically work together. We come to an agreement on who would be better suited to take the lead on these different reburials, and then more than likely we'll turn that over to them. So being able to work with other tribal nations, kind of discuss and talk about, you know, what actually happened, who was residing in those different areas, and will help the state and their employees determine the best course of action on proper repatriation and reburial.
Heather, I mentioned earlier 7,000 ancestors in the possession of the State Museum, for lack of a better way to phrase that. Is the goal to get to zero? Is that achievable?
Unfortunately, we can never get to zero, but we're going to get as close as we possibly can. The reason that we can never get to zero is because life is going to continue to happen. The Illinois State Museum in statute is, that means in our legal framework, is designed to be the place where these relatives, these ancestors, will come to when something happens. So if there's a construction project or something that needs to happen, and they run into some ancestors accidentally, those ancestors will come to the museum. And so we'll have NAGPRA eligible items back on our shelves, even if we try our darndest to get everybody back to where they need to be. Construction isn't going to stop. Sometimes we'll have a major storm that may unearth some ancestors and their belongings. And so we work in those situations as well to make sure that those folks get put back where they need to be and are continue to be at rest. But again, those are processes that happen. That's just the way our society is built and the way that things function. So unfortunately, we'll never get to zero. But because we're putting this process in place, we now have the ability to make sure that our tribal nation representatives are the ones that are helping guide those decisions and making sure that the Illinois State Museum has another level of eyes and folks that can help keep us accountable and make sure that we are doing the work needed to get folks back at rest, back in the ground, and continue on their journeys.
Heather Miller is Director of Tribal Relations and Historic Preservation at the Illinois State Museum. Joseph Zeke Rupnick is Chairman of the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation. Thank you both so much for being with us today on the 21st Show. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.